Welcome to the 29th Annual Executive War College brought to you by The Dark Report. This year's conference was in beautiful New Orleans, April 30th through May 1st. The title of this presentation is Leveraging Specialty Logistics, Kitting, and Enhanced Informatics to Improve Patient Care, Boost Physician Satisfaction, and Increase Lab Productivity. The presenters are Robin Hooker, Senior Vice President, Sales and Marketing, BioTouch, Midland, Georgia, and Sanjesh Sharma, VP, Operations, Natera, San Carlos, California.
Okay, we're going to get rolling. It's bright and early on a Wednesday morning. Everyone should be semi-hungover if you had a good evening last night. My name is Josh Ellen. I'm the moderator for today. I own my own company. I'm an accounting firm, CPA by training. A lot of the stuff that we're talking about today are very relevant in terms of automation, because that's what I focus on in my accounting firm. It's my pleasure to introduce Sanjesh Sharma, VP of Operations at Natera, Robin Hooker, SVP of Sales and Marketing at BioTouch, and they're going to talk about leveraging specialty logistics, kitting, and enhanced informatics. Y'all have the HOVA app. Please submit questions in the app. I'm going to hunt them down and tell them 10 minutes before the session is over so that we can field some Q&A. And so if you have those, put them in the app. When you leave the conference, don't forget to rate this session, and hopefully they do a great job and give everyone a high rating. So without further ado, Sanjesh.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Robin. Josh said, great to be here. First time speaker. I don't know if I'm nervous, but I think I was worried about 7:30 in the morning and how many people would actually show up from last night's escapades. But anyhow, this is not a pacemaker, not to worry, and glad to be talking about this today.
Robin Hooker, I'm SVP for BioTouch. We're a kitting, logistics, print, and promotional material company. We service a lot of labs in the industry. Really excited to be here with Sanjesh. Made it out all the way from the West Coast. And we're going to talk today a little bit about specimen logistics. Before we get started, we're going to just play a quick video, let a few stragglers come in. And Sanjesh, I'm going to go ahead and hand you this because you can walk around. I've got to stay by the microphone here because we've got one mic. And as questions come up, one rule, we'll repeat the question. But if we forget, please remind us, and we'll make sure that the audio comes through for others. So just a quick kind of get us started here about Natera and BioTouch.
All right. So there was a little bit of, instead of talking about what Natera does and what BioTouch does, we thought we'd give you a video and let it speak for itself. I don't think we need to introduce ourselves. You know, Robin, myself, both Natera and BioTouch. Again, BioTouch,
A little bit about BioTouch. So we do laboratory kit building. We do specialty logistics. So we manage the courier and the carrier moves. So think of FedEx and UPS. We've got a special team that manages and actually groups all the labs together and builds specialized value for the labs. That could be in terms of pricing. It's also in terms of monitoring and intervention. And we also manage large courier networks. We've got 3,000 team members. The bulk of that is actually our courier team out in the field. And we also do print. So the print material that goes into kits, instructions for use and other things, all of that combines to create an integrated solution. And we even do a little bit of promotional stuff, so stuff that would be handed out at conferences like this. But we're just behind the scenes. We just help labs do what they need to do, right? Labs have a core business, and that's what we really want to talk about is how we work together to support that. So I'll kick it over a little bit here to Sanjesh to talk about and tee up the challenges that labs face.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Robin. And what's interesting is we a lot of the topics at this conference, very sort of what I call downstream, or a lot of automation and a lot of recovery. This is very actually upstream. And what's interesting is, and there's a lot of interesting, I'll actually share more details in the presentation, why it matters. And because 70% of all the errors that's made in a testing is actually done, it actually happens in the pre-analytical phase, which is interesting. Anyhow, a little bit about Natera. You know, I don't want to go all about a lot too much about it, but what's interesting is in 2019, I think you all know what happened. And what's different about Natera is we did not, and intentionally, did not actually pursue what I call the pandemic. I'm trying to find a spot so I'm not humming a little bit. There you go. Is this better? Yeah. We actually intentionally pursued not to go what I call the COVID route. We stayed focused on what we started in 2013. And actually, during that particular pandemic era, we expanded more into oncology, women's health, and organ health. And so I felt this slide in itself talks a lot about that. For us to make this happen, required a lot of what I call heavy lifting. And in 2019, we were 850 people in Natera. Today, we're closer to 4,000. It's different. And, you know, before this talk, one of the things we wanted to understand, well, what is it that we're addressing? And actually, I got this from the CDC website. 14 billion tests done in a year. In the hospital and what I call remote testing done. That's one. Two, 70% of all the decisions made based on lab tests and 260,000 CLIA laboratory tests. What's interesting is remote draws are happening more and more. So you have a lot more mobile phlebotomy. You have a lot of laboratories that actually draw the sample, send it to Natera or, you know, the other companies as well. I mean, there's a lot of genetic testing companies, which is awesome. We play an absolute amazing part from the time a blood is drawn, blood sample is drawn, to the time it gets to the lab. Most important, it gets there on time, and it doesn't, what I call, expire on you. And as a patient, the one thing on my mind is, where is my sample? And everybody wants to know about that. And increasingly, we are between the patients and between the test labs. And that's my talk about today. How do we shorten that gap?
I wanted to jump in here, Sanjesh. Go ahead and hit the next slide here. 70% of the tests that are handled, right, medical decisions are based on 70% of what happens in the lab, right? So I wanted to quantify that. Here's a $100 bill. We all know what that looks like. Hopefully we've seen a few of these. This is $10,000. This is what $1 million looks like. It'll fit in a suitcase. This is $100 million, right? And we're going to get to what we spend on healthcare. Okay? So that's $1 billion. That's five pallets of $100 bills. This is what $1 trillion looks like. This is double stacked, right? 1,000 pallets. And then on top of that, this is $4.5 trillion. That's what we spend in healthcare every year in this country alone. And 70% of that spend happens because of what happens with people in this room. So what we do is important at the micro level down to the patient, but it's important at the macro level as well, because we spend a lot on healthcare.
Thanks, Robin. And just two key points. Why does kits and logistics matter? One, integral part between patient and results. And second, understanding what the clinic's expectations and the testing laboratory expectations are. When I joined Natera in 2019, I was actually confused. I told my wife, I'm going to join Natera. And she said, what do they do? And my background is biotech, pharmaceutical operations, and I used to work at Genentech for a long time. And she said, what's so special about Natera? And I said, you know, I'm not joining a company to work, but I'm actually a patient of the company as well. And I said, if it hadn't been for Natera, had Natera been in business or any of these testing companies in 2013 when we needed it most, or earlier, I would have had three kids, but I only have two today. But they're a handful. So for me, it's very personal. This is not about having a job or doing something. I'm very passionate about what I do with this particular project, and I have some specific examples on how we made it different. You know,
Sanjesh, you said something when we were talking earlier. You said, "It's not my job. It's my purpose." And that just rang true with me. I was
Very true, very true. And the other thing, I think one of the questions when I was talking about the speakers, why share? Why share with the team? And it's for us, and I took out of the, all the values, I don't want to go through all of it, at Natera and for any of the testing laboratories, we actually, if you look at all of their core values, if you look at any of our, even our competitors, we're actually a partner in this industry. So it's competitive, but we're serving the same purpose. We, every person behind every sample, no ifs, ands, or but. Ken sitting here, my colleague, he oversees all of the logistics, and he knows not a sample goes, I mean, if a sample is missing, he knows what we're doing all night trying to look for the sample. The second is think team. And I'm not thinking team as in me and him team, Robin and I team. I'm thinking team in this industry. Because this industry, I feel, is still in its infancy. And think lean and nimble. We talk about nobody wants to pay more money. We know that. We want the margins to improve. And the bottom line is, if we're not going to be profitable, we're not going to be in business for a long time. And so there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'm not going to go into all of the details, but took a couple of the what I call testimonials from some of our public places. Why it matters, and that's a message from our patients. They had labs done, and they want to know where it is. They want to have a good experience. The clinic and the patients, they want to make sure that the test, that the blood that they drew actually gets to the lab, gets tested. More importantly, the voice of our customers. In every clinic we talk to our sales, our clinic folks, they want to know a few things. I want the collection kits today. I want to have it without taking a lot of space in my clinic. I want it to be cost effective. I want it to be easy to replace, easy to use, and I want it unexpired. I want it small, but I want it fast. Logistics, I draw the samples, I want it picked up within the hour, delivered within the hour, tested within the hour, and everything in between. So what's interesting is, if I look at, and a little bit more testimonials from a lot of our patients, but if I look at the three stages and I go a little deeper into our testing process, the pre-analytical, analytical, and post-analytical. What's interesting, our focus is very much on the pre-analytical today. It's from the kit to the patient to draw to the lab. And what's interesting is 70% of the errors that occur with a patient sample happens before the sample actually gets to the lab. Either expired kit, if the sample's expired, sample's been sitting in somebody's trunk for too long, and all gets lost. But our focus is really, how do we optimize getting patient's sample to the lab? First, when we started this, and I have a real life example on this. We went to our kit manufacturing partner, and we said, listen, I have four expectations. One, you will never run out, period. Imagine sitting in a patient, and the example I gave to Robin and the company, and I said, sitting in a chair, and you tell the patient, we're going to draw you in a second, but wait a minute, we're out of kits. Can you come back tomorrow? That's a no-no, not an option. Second, quality cannot be compromised, period. I know CLIA's here. I know some FDA folks are here. This is not even negotiable. And I said, not going to happen. Third, I need the cost to be in check. I don't need this to come at $14 trillion, like $1 billion, what Robin said. And I also needed the kits to get to my clinic when they need it within 24 hours, less than 24 hours. And actually, all four of them are in check, and I'll show you how. One, what stock out was not an option. It was not an option, period. Now, we also had to do something to partner to make it sort of a little bit more meaningful. One, we would actually provide our forecast and demand. Robin knows all forecasts are wrong. So we told him, you need to figure this out on your end on how to build some contingency. Figure that out. If I'm telling you that, I have a different problem. Second, I will absolutely be confident that all my, I'm 100% confident that every single kit will get used. And here's the thing. If it doesn't, I know I'm going to incur some waste. I need to have the stomach to be able to manage that. That was my first expectation. The second, quality cannot ever be compromised. And we said, listen, for you to do what you need to do within a compliant manner, we have to actually go back and sit with our teams internally to make sure that our specs had absolutely what I call was in check. The specs were defined, and we gave Robin, I think, on average, and I took this as the average, Robin, one of the expectations is when we make a kit, this cannot expire within a day or a month or even 4 months. On average, we have our kits don't expire for at least 320 some odd days. Some go a little bit longer, but 1 year is what kind of what our target was. The third was cost had to be in check. Now, Robin told me, if cost has to be in check, you don't want me to carry too much inventory. And I said, no, I need you to carry inventory. And I think the answer was, then it's going to cost you too much. And I said, that's not an option. And then he says, if I carry little inventory, you're going to stock out. I said, that also is not an option. And so we found a good balance. What's interesting is we simplified our kits, by the way. And you say, how does it matter? It matters because it allows what we needed BioTouch to do was to scale up within a week if we needed to. But that also meant I don't have 47 different varieties of kits. That meant we had to standardize. So we would go and would pick up, it simplifies our kits, the box sizes to be the same, gel packs to be the same, tubes to be the same, off the same batch, simplifying some of the instructions. And actually that allowed then BioTouch to do be more nimble to scale up or scale down. And that helped. And the fourth thing was, once the kits are ordered, we needed the kits to be at the clinics. I'm a little excited today. I'm a little thirsty. And I did not drink last night, by the way.
Me neither.
We needed the kits to be at the clinic within 24 hours. Less than 24 hours. So I can tell you today, if an order, you can try it. If you place an order with BioTouch today, before 3 p.m. today, it'll be at your office at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Try that. I kid you not. And if it doesn't, call me. And I'll tell you how we manage that. But it was absolute key. Because you see, some of the clinics are very small. They don't want big, bulky boxes stuck in there. We also needed to understand what the clinics need, how many do they need. And actually, I'll talk a little bit about the fulfillment process, and maybe I can touch a little bit about that. But we actually took the data we had for a clinic, what they have been ordering and what they've been sending back. And we understand the delta in terms of if they ordered 100, sent me 80. I know they have 20 on hand. Now some expire, some get lost, it's okay. We have a little fudge factor in there. But I know that clinic now sends me 80. But actually, with data, we're able to track it if it's going up or it's going down. And we're able to actually project ahead of time that this clinic is actually on a trajectory upwards or downwards. And then we build it into a forecast, and we say, Robin, here it is. And so now do that for 24,000 clinics, and we have a pretty solid forecast, which proves to be wrong every day they place the order, because someday they change their minds to order more or less. But it's okay. That's totally okay. The other thing was simplify fulfillment. And this was key. So I talked about the pre-analytical, so the upfront kit getting, you know, sort of ordered, made, delivered to the clinic, back to Natera. So I wanted to share with you a little bit a specific example on how we simplified fulfillment. And this is very mechanical. It'll feel mechanical. But actually, if you ask any clinic, it made a world of a difference. In 2019, I'm not going to go through all the details, but actually, this is one point. We used to have 5 different kit manufacturers. So it's you know, 2013, and this is a new stage, and you know, you have the, you know, I don't want to take competitor's name, but there's a lot of genetic testing companies that's coming up front, coming on board. And we said, hey, let's, and Natera is in Austin, and Natera is in San Carlos. We said, well, how are we going to make our kits and get it to the clinics in less than 24 hours? So before we got there, I want to preface that. I got there in Natera 2019. Before we got there, somebody decided, let's have one there, let's have one there, let's have one there, let's make it ourselves, and then ship it to us, and then actually ship it to back and forth, and then let's have also the manufacturer ship it to us. And we said, let's have the other manufacturer ship to us. Well, with that manufacturer, can they ship it to Austin? And we said, yes. And they said, we said, can you also ship all over the country? And they said, yes. We went to another vendor and said, can you do the same? They're like, yes. And we said, can you do the same? Yes. Hey, what if you forget? Maybe we do a little bit of that, and then we do a little bit. And that's what we were doing. That happened. Okay, so I'm going to go back. This is what we were doing. It was crazy. I don't know if any of you all do this. I hope you don't. But this thing is actually bonkers. And if our ESG group saw this today, they would fire us, our environmental sustainability group. So we said, and actually when I asked the team, I said, why are we doing this? There was a reason. We were trying to game the shipping zones. So if you go to FedEx or UPS, I can take their name, DHL, anybody, they all have a shipping zone. So if I ship from here just to Florida, it's a zone one or two, it's cheap. If I go from here to California, it's expensive. So we're like, you ship close by, you ship close by. It was crazy. And we said, none of that, nonsense. Here's what we did. We said, BioTouch, can you do this? And that was the four conditions I pushed on him. Only and only if you sign up and you say you will never run out, quality is not going to be an issue, you're going to get the kits in 24 hours or less, and you're going to be able to fulfill every kit on the same day. They said, absolutely, absolutely, and this is what we stuck to. There's a risk with this. The risk is being single-sourced. We knew that. We took a chance. It was risky. It was actually at the cusp of COVID. And it was testing for us on what mattered. We signed up, and we said, if you run out, you will only get one chance. And we were that strict because we're taking a chance with our patients. Now, we also kept an inventory on hand in case things happen. During COVID, a lot of bad things happened. I would say a lot of weird things happened. Long story short, we've actually done that, and it's actually working. We've stuck to that program. Now, you may say, well, why wouldn't you want to diversify? We do, and we did, to some extent. But we didn't want to sort of create a little bit of going back. We didn't want to go back to the old system. This method worked, absolutely. The key thing for us and for Ken that's sitting up there is absolutely was making sure we had clinic name, clinic ID, complete address. Do you know, on average, of all the kits that get returned to a clinic or get back to BioTech, number one reason is incorrect address. So check that. It's the simplest thing ever. Actually, a lot of the couriers, FedEx, UPS, actually have a system where you can actually have a correct address checker. Second was keeping track of metrics. Now, I deleted some of the numbers. Our legal said you can't share all the detailed numbers. But I can assure you why this matters. Every kit that goes out that was placed orders, they want to know, the clinic wants to know, did the kit get shipped out? And we track it by month. We track it by day. We track it by the hour, and we don't have to do it manually. When BioTouch fulfills an order for us, we see it on our dashboard. It's going out, and we know how many and whether or not it was fulfilled. And why all of this matters, I don't talk a lot about it, but knowing that the sample has arrived, matters. I'm going to lend in a secret. I want you to plug your ears for a second. But a secret to you, if you are doing this, consolidating your kits, if it's to one hospital or if it's coming from a hospital to your lab, is a smart idea. There's a risk. If you lose the packet, you lose a lot more than one. But that's why you have what I call traceability. And you actually, you hold your queries. There's methods to do this, actually. And you're able to trace your sample. Heck, Amazon is actually able to trace your gummy bears till it's delivered. This is very easy. This technology exists. And more importantly, your costs will improve. And I don't have the exact cost, but listen, if you take 10 kits in a box and you ship it to one place, your cost per kit is about $2.50. If you take one kit at a time and you ship it one at a time, you will have paid about $190 for those 10 kits. So make it, you know, take it forward, make it yours in that sense. And where possible, I always like to say, consolidate. It's not always possible, and you never want to compromise the tat, though. If a kit has to go out, a kit has to go out. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. For us, for a woman's health, it's different. I can bulk. For a cancer patient, I can't, and I don't, and we won't. So it's not a what I call a one-size-fits-all. It's what makes most business sense for you. The other thing is, we track, and that's actually real. That's a real metric. We track for every single day. Was the kit fulfilled? Was the order fulfilled? And you see the red. We don't talk about the green. We don't talk to BioTouch about green. We say, what happened to the red days? We don't talk about it in a month. We talk about it next day. Hey, how come it's red? We had a snowstorm. Oh, that's right. It snows. Lately, it's been snowing in Austin. And it gets kind of weird. We're doing all of this with what I call the weather and the changing patterns. And I think 22 and 23, there'd been a winter storm in Austin. I mean, who would have thought? But nonetheless, that was absolutely key for us. And knock on wood, we were talking to some colleagues yesterday about COVID and how, during lunch actually yesterday, about AI and how COVID came and everybody did that. We did not intentionally choose to go that route. We stuck this path, and actually, we've been okay. We haven't had stockouts. We had zero stockouts because there was an option. One option before we even started talking to anybody and said, you run out, we will run out. I assure you of that. And so the other thing was daily fulfillment rate, inventory optimization key, and ability for partner to scale up. In our business, so, you know, I don't know if you guys remember, but the ACOG, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists, actually issued a guidance, I want to say 2020, something like that. They said, you know, make it the standard care. And we said, okay. We said, BioTouch, you got 1 week. I need you to scale up by XYZ amount of kits. Done. They can only do it if they're automated. They can only automate if we simplify. We can only simplify if we have a method to the madness. We used to have 6 different box sizes. I didn't know that. I was off by quarter inch, half inch, and I'm like, what silliness. Here's the thing. As I was actually making my rounds this week at the conference, and we're not done yet by any means. We have a lot more to do. We know that when a clinic orders, you know, one thing you can, I know we've all used Amazon, and I use this example quite a bit, and I tell Ken, I said, hey, you know, when I run out of dog food at home, Amazon will text me and say, do you need more? They actually send me an email, and I'm thinking, why couldn't we do that with the clinic? Because you can. And if you look at a lot of the conferences going on here right now, they talk a lot about metrics and a lot about AI, and it's awesome. And I'm like, well, maybe we should fulfill, auto-fulfill. Then our salespeople say, don't do that. Do not bombard the clinics randomly. We said, okay. So we stopped. The other is streamline fulfillment. You know, there's an automated part. We could do that. Imagine this. I'm a clinic. I order 100 kits a month, but I don't send any of you back to us. At some point, we get upset. Well, we don't get upset, but I think we start to question. Like, what are they doing with our kids? And during COVID, I kept running out of EDTA tubes and Streck tubes until Ken and I decided to figure out what's going on. And so the fulfillment, you can actually automate, you can track your data. It doesn't mean you go and actually punish anybody, but actually knowing helps you do that. The other thing is sharing TNP, test not perform. Did you know one of the most painful things for a patient, certainly I don't have to preach to the choir, is TNPs. And actually we get some TNPs, test not perform, because the kits that came to us were expired. And we were actually at a women's health conference last week or 2 weeks ago. And I always asked my salespeople, I said, do you drink expired milk? They're like, no. I'm like, why would you use an expired kit for a patient? Well, they're like, well, we didn't see that. But it's actually very obvious. The expiration dates are on the outside. It's on the tube. You can save a lot of headaches. How do you remind your folks to do that? Sharing return kits data. It's really about sharing. What we found is when we go to the clinic, which we don't as often, when the back-end people go to the clinic, it's very painful. So we arm our salespeople in the front, and we say, you do it. And it's actually quite helpful. It takes a little bit of what I call relationship building. Salespeople are, I hope none of you guys are salespeople, but it's a little different. Smaller kids, everybody wants it smaller. Nobody wants big, bulky kits. I think everybody wants it. They've asked me, can you send me a kit in a Ziploc bag? And I always say, yes, I can. But is that what you want? Because I lose traceability. I lose, you know, there's a risk with the integrity of the kit. So I have to balance it. And so what I can do is make it smaller. I can make it seal-proof. I can make it, there's some options we're exploring right now. Cost control, sustainability, I think those two gonna go hand in hand. And notice I put cost at the very bottom, because if you do the above right, cost will follow. Right? And then, there's always more. How are we doing on time?
I think we're really good. Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, we're I need to slow down?
No, okay. No, we're fine. We'll leave some time for questions.
I'm a little excited, that's all. Yeah. So, we have a team behind what I call the salespeople actually in the field. We don't go out and make the sales call in the clinic, but what's important is for us to hear the voice of the customer, not just patients, but also clinics, to know what is it that they want. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, not every experience has been absolutely glorifying and actually been beautiful. We've heard some very poignant, very specific feedback from the clinics and the hospitals and the teams and say, you need to learn how to consolidate more. You need to learn how to make your kits smaller. You need to make your expiration dates bigger. Or why does the tube inside the box have a different expiration date on the outside? And actually, it's very easy. We take the shortest expiration date, and we said, just look at the outside. Well, I don't know that. You know, I open the tube, and the kit's box doesn't expire. The tubes do. That's very true. So we're trying to make some changes on that as well. But long story short, it's the team, what I call, we don't talk about often. It's the logistics team, it's the fulfillment team, it's the biotech team that actually does kit fulfillment. During this Christmas break, when everybody was, you know, celebrating, we told biotech, you will have to make 150,000 more kits in the next 10, 12 days, I think it was. And they said, what do you need it for? And I said, how about you don't worry about that? We said, you just make it. And they're like, well, it's going to cost you. We said, yeah, okay, make it anyhow. And so they did. And there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes to deliver, get a sample from a patient to your test lab. And I can tell you, after even attending this conference, the first time ever for me, I think there's like so much more automation using AI that we could do and even shorten that gap. I had one metric that I had to take out here, but I can share with you. From the time a patient sample is drawn at a clinic to the time it gets to our lab, it's 14 and a half hours. So we pick it up. If it's drawn before 3 p.m., it's at our lab at 8:30 in the morning, accession, 98% of it. The other 2% is what Ken and his team chase around and find to look for. Now, it's not 100%, but we meet 98-99% every day. That's one. Second, the opportunity to streamline, actually one thing is if you're a clinic, you don't want a FedEx or a UPS showing up your door every day and say, do you have a sample? Do you have a sample? Do you have a sample? That's somebody going there 5 or 6 times a day, a week, I should say, to look for a sample. And we call it a no-load. And so no-load is somebody driving up to your clinic to pick up zero load. There is nothing to pick up. And then they come back home. And we were talking a little bit, and I said, Ken, does UPS show up at your door to pick up something if you don't have anything? He goes, no. I said, FedEx? He goes, no. I said, when do they show up? He goes, only when I have a pickup. That's very smart. Every kit that actually BioTouch makes has a barcode for us. So we are soon going to be hopefully migrating. Not hopefully, we are migrating to where you have a sample. The only thing you do is you scan it. And your courier gets a ticket. It gets a tick. There's a sample to be picked up. And they only drive to pick up a sample when there is a sample. So it's pretty called dynamic pickup. Coming soon. So more work to be done. It's continuous improvement. Behind the scenes, it's what we do. That's all I had.
Great. Sanjesh, part of the NOLA experience is there's a lot of street performers out there,
yes.
Right? So I like to walk the streets. I like to listen to the second line musicians and those kind of groups. I don't know if you've been to Frenchman Street, but there are a lot of typewriter poets out there. And I met with Liz Bett. She is called the French Quarter Poet. And I said, hey, I'm doing a talk. Can you write us something? She created this little poem, so I thought I'd give it to you.
Awesome.
You know, just to kind of commemorate our time together. But she added a few things. She interviews you, and she writes a nice little poem for you. And I think I paid a little bit more when she found out it was for not for a little personal thing. But she was great, and it just recaptured, I think, something that we're all involved with, which is we're coming here to share best practices, we're touching lives, and we're improving patient care. And I think that kind of sums up Sanjesh's talk. So, Sanjesh, thank you.
Indeed.
Please give him a big round of applause.
Please.
And we're going to open it up to questions now.
Josh, I think there was one question.
There was one question. If you want to read it.
Yeah. The question is, how can the integration of specialty logistics, kitting, and enhanced informatics systems be optimized to simultaneously enhance patient care, increase physician satisfaction, and boost lab productivity? Could you provide examples of successful implementations of key strategies? Well, I think, I mean, that's a big question, but I think one example that I gave was simplifying the fulfillment process. I think, you know, when a clinic calls and says, I need my sample now, getting it there in less than 24 hours, that's one. The other is actually, we just talked about, and this is not a dream, but actually it's going to become a real thing for Natera, is when you have a sample, it doesn't matter where you are, you scan your kit, will be picked up same day, and you don't have a courier showing up relentlessly every day just to say, I'm going to pick up. You do have something, you have something. So it's actually going to improve productivity. It's going to improve your cost. It's going to improve patient care, sort of satisfaction. All the it's a big question, but actually, truly, those two big things would be, you know, paying huge dividends for us.
Yeah, maybe jumping in, you mentioned AI or making intelligent decisions with data. I think API connectivity.
Yes.
Connectivity between BioTouch Natera, between the Natera and their clinics, and then the sharing and exchanging of data on kit fulfillment, kit needs, requests, carrier and courier transportation. That linkage, right, needs to be firm. And then you can start to, I think Sanjesh referred to this, mature the supply chain, if you will, of healthcare into some of the other more mature industries, taking those best practices and providing notifications in advance, tracking updates, and, you know, even rescuing distressed specimens that are in the parcel networks. All of those things become more visible to us when we're exchanging data mutually, and the clinics are seeing that data so they know where is the specimen on behalf of the patient. So a lot of interesting things open up, I think, to answer that question. That was a long question.
Yeah.
I think the answer is almost entirely kind of outlined in the talk. But maybe if there's any live questions from the team?
Yeah.
I'll re-ask that question for the mic, too. So the question was, there's a percentage of the reimbursement for the test that can be allocated to logistics was the question, I guess.
Pre-analytic
costs. Benchmarking.
I
don't know how much you're able to share, Sanjesh, in the open forum or offline.
Sure. I'll be honest with you, Tom. I haven't done that level of breakdown from what I call a reimbursement perspective, what percent is broken down to the pre and the testing and the post. But I certainly will take it down, and I wanna see that now. I think you've kind of perked that interest. Of course. Let me tell you, I've paid $1,400 for patient samples to fly from remote places in the U.S. coming to Natera. For the first few years of Natera, tests were being done for free. You're absolutely right. Getting a clinical trial sample, a transplant sample from remote places of the world cost me a lot of money, but I think we can certainly pull some data to show that, absolutely.
Yeah, Sanjesh said something during the talk that I wanted to jump in on. You were in the flow, so I didn't jump in right away. But you mentioned that there's cost efficiencies when you aggregate samples together and you've got more samples or more kits per box, either going out or going back in. Inbound, there's a lot of risk. You mentioned oncology, et cetera, and that there's protection needed. One of the things that BioTouch does is we have a control tower to monitor and intervene across multiple carriers and couriers. And so sometimes there's ways to manage that risk. Now, sometimes that risk is something that just organizationally firms don't want to take. But for firms that are trying to balance and look for things and opportunities, we've worked really, really well with the parcel carriers. And especially when things go wrong, our team knows how to kind of find the parcel in the nook and cranny. A lot of times there's been a biospecimen spill, and our team will work with those carriers to go to their spill recovery area. UN-3373 Category B specimens are kind of scary to these parcel carriers. We have processes to intervene and stop what usually is the spill and destruction of specimens and pull them back out, even working with their third-party vendor to reclaim them, get them back into a courier, and it may be that $500 shipment because now it's pulled completely out of the parcel network, but we do things to rescue as well.
Tom, actually, the one data I can share with you is that of the total number of samples that we ship in or out, about 7 to 8% of them are not, actually we use specialty couriers, such as the lab logistics, to go and extract the sample because there's no regular run. So we do that. The cost is about 5 or 6x more than a regular courier, but we do rely on specialty couriers to do a lot of that because you know the regular couriers are not everywhere. But I will take the question. I like that to see how they break down. Absolutely.
So repeating for the mic.
Sure.
So what are some of the key KPIs, and then also how do you address some of the capacity issues in the transportation networks?
Yeah. Let me answer the second question first, and then I'll talk about that. Airline flights change, schedules change, and so when we are shipping samples back and forth, the cargo, and that's why we actually have a core logistics team. And there's been times, and it's a real thing, where shipments actually have been on a tarmac, and we would have to extract a sample and enter specialty couriers where we actually call and we say, we need you to go and extract that sample. We've actually had to go toe-to-toe some with the two largest carriers and sometimes and say, they say, you're not allowed on the tarmac. And I said, tell it to my cancer patient that's waiting for a result. And so we've had Natera actually go and extract samples. I should have put the picture in for the van that we did. So we've done that. Internationally, it's harder. Asia-Pacific is very hard in terms of getting samples from Singapore, Hong Kong, Australia, sometimes here. So, which is why Natera, being on the West Coast, we have timing. So we are continuously changing, so the pickup's not same. So that's a very fluid situation with every single situation, every country. We have a team that deals with nothing but international and the customs laws. Try to get a sample out of Brazil. it's a little tough on that. On the metrics part, you know, we have a dashboard, and I think I want to run it down. We have the, what I call the fulfillment, and the fulfillment requires every order that was placed to the API, they went to BioTouch, that was fulfilled. Got it. Then we want to know it got there within a certain amount of time. Got it. We have that metric. Then we actually talk about how long they've had the sample for. We know how many samples they send back, what I call a send-receive ratio. We actually monitor that. We also know how many kits in their position is going to expire to the clinic. So we started emailing the clinics, and we got a lot of pushback from the clinic and say, stop spamming us. So we said, okay. So we want the metrics to be meaningful, and we wanted to share with the clinics, and they said, tell your salespeople. So we tell our salespeople. So we know what kit is where, when it was shipped, what's the date when it expires. We know whether or not they've used it. We also know when they shipped it to us, because the minute it gets scanned, we know it's coming to us. So we track all of that. On the back end, we track every sample that was what I call TNP'd due to expired kits. If a test is not performed due to other reasons, past accessioning, we don't manage that. Ken and I don't. Natera does. We have a separate process for that. But we manage all the tests that came to us that was TNP'd because it was expired or something, it was broken or something bad happened. And then we have a very big one, which is we also manage and share kits returned. Incorrect address, clinic doesn't want it, lost in customs, and yeah, that happens. So we track that. There's two other metrics we share with our sales folks, and they appear interested, but we know they're lying. We say to them, when you bulk up, here's your cost per kit. They're like, yeah, whatever. And we said, if you send it out, here's your outbound cost, the inbound cost. And they said, yeah, it's all good. Did the kit get there? Yeah. That's all they really care about. Did my kit get there? And did it get to the lab? So we have a lot more metrics, actually, that we have a live dashboard that Ken and his team kind of live and die by.
I wanted to jump in on something on expiration, right? So sales is ordering kits and seeding the market with kits, right? But clinicians are not great inventory people. They're not warehouse people, right? They're not FIFO or LIFO. What does that mean to a clinician, right? But there's ways to optimize the inventory. But if you think about the way a clinician would work, I've got a stack of expiring kits, and sales said, well, you're getting kind of low. I'm going to send you some more. What are they going to do with the new kits? Like 80% of the time, they're going to stack new kits on top of the expiring kits.
Yeah.
So there's ways to create the right system so that you may have like something where you put the new kits in the bottom and the top, and you pull from the bottom like a little rack. Things like that. Great. Okay. How much?
What do we have? 22.
Oh, we're over. Okay.
You can absolutely email us. Happy to take any questions after the sessions.
Thank you, everybody,
thank you
for joining.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.
This concludes the presentation. Please visit the Executive War College website for details on the 2025 event.